How are you this morning? You doing all right? He's doing good. You ready to get into God's Word together? We'll be in the 50th Psalm. If you'd like a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers would be glad to get one to you. But Psalm 50 this morning. Eventually, we're going to get around to reading the whole thing, but to begin with, we're just going to start with a couple verses out of the psalm after we pray that the Lord would teach us. Lord God, we do pray that you would teach our hearts, teach our lives. Lord, that you would put in us hearts of thanksgiving, hearts of rightful response to you, our Creator and our Savior. Lord, we believe that this is your word here, and we believe that this is your word from your heart, and so we pray that even as it is from your heart on these pages, that you would, by your Spirit, lift them from these pages and put them in our heart, God. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, and one more thing before I forget. I meant to say this during announcements. If you would like help, if you need help for a Thanksgiving dinner, will you please let us know, and we'd be glad to help you with that. Psalm 50, and like I said, we'll get around to reading the whole psalm, but first, just a couple verses, the 14th verse, just a part of that, and then a part of the last verse, verse 23, or towards the end, I should say. Verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving. Offer to God thanksgiving. Verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me. That's God speaking there. I'm going to read that portion again from verse 23, but I'm going to read it in two different translations now. One is the ESV. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me, God says. The New Living says this, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. Thank you. There are a few things that we make our kids say, whether they want to or not. One of them is thank you. To say thank you is to express gratitude. It's to be appreciative. To acknowledge that some kind of kindness or a blessing has been given to you, and you're saying, thank you, I appreciate what you have done. So you're appreciating the kindness and the blessing, and you're appreciating the person that gave it to you. And we tell our kids over and over again, say thank you. Say thank you. And then we say it so many times that it simply becomes, what do you say? What do you say? And sometimes, right, especially the little ones say, I'm sorry, you're welcome, thank you. They know it's one of those, right? What do you say? In fact, I thought maybe that would be a good title for the message this morning is, Christians, what do you say? We know we should be thankful to God, right? We tell our kids this over and over again, and I was thinking about it. I was thinking, why do we do this? Why do we think it's so important that our kids say thank you? I think if we're honest, it's because we don't want to raise a bunch of whiny ingrates. That's my motive. That's my motive. So we're willing to over and over again tell them, say thank you, say thank you. Even before they know what it means, and we're even okay if they don't mean it. Now, of course, we know it has to come from the heart ultimately, and of course, we know that it really only is meaningful if it does come from the heart, but it's part of the training we do, right? To constantly be telling them to be grateful. To constantly point out to them that something good has been done for them. That some kindness has been shown to them. That's what we're doing a lot of times, right? The child doesn't actually know that that's kindness or that's a blessing or that, hey, you didn't deserve that. Somebody gave that to you out of their kindness of their hearts. Say thank you. And so we're pointing out to them, somebody did something good for you. And we're trying to drill this into them. Because we do. We want to instill in them the character of thankfulness, of appreciativeness, of gratitude. And our children may often wonder, I'm sure they do, why is it so important to mom and dad that we say thank you? And what they don't know is it's not important to mom and dad as much as it's important to their own character, as much as it's important to their own well-being and perspective. And so we're willing to drill it into them until they finally get it themselves and become grateful people. And then we can remove our hand from that. And then they notice things to say thank you for and they say it, right? That's the goal. Because eventually we get to where our parents, in fact, I have gotten to where my parents don't have to say that anymore. They don't have to say, Timmy, say thank you. I know what to be grateful for. I think I learned it a year or two ago. They're very proud of me. But we do that because we know how important it is to appreciate. We know that an attitude of gratefulness means everything. And you're either thankful for everything or for nothing. You're either thankful for God or you're resentful and complaining and placing blame. And these principles really are the same with thanking God. The Bible tells us to give thanks to God, and it should be obvious. Are your lungs taking in and putting out air? Is your heart pumping blood? I wonder who gets credit for that. I wonder who deserves credit for that. So the Bible tells us, give thanks to God. Psalm 107:1-2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I love that. Let God's redeemed say that he is good and say that they are grateful. James 1:17 says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And the last verse in the psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It makes so much sense. Take the breath that God has given you and use it to bless him and praise him and say thanks. There is nothing more fitting or more appropriate or more rightful than thanking God. But that doesn't mean it comes natural to us, does it? It doesn't mean that we're real good at it. It just means that there's nothing that makes the most natural sense than to just say thank you to the God who has given everything, even his only son. Now, for some people, thanksgiving is a way of life. Matthew Henry was like this. Have you heard of Matthew Henry before? Maybe you've read some of his Bible commentary. He lived in the late 1600s. He was an Englishman. He was a Bible teacher. And at one point in his life, he was mugged and his money was taken from him. And he wrote the following in his diary the same day after he was mugged. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He said, let me be thankful first, because this is the first time I have ever been robbed. Second, that even though they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, that even though they took everything I have, it was not very much. And fourth, I'm thankful because even though I was robbed, it's better than being the thief. It sounds like Matthew Henry had a lifestyle of thanksgiving, doesn't it? Not everybody's like that. Not all of us are like that. A lot of people find it very difficult to find things to be thankful for, and maybe that's you. And here in this case, I'm not talking about people that have little as far as family or money or possessions, because there are a lot of people who have next to nothing that are very grateful people. And there are a lot of people that have all kinds of stuff, and yet they're very ungrateful. And that tells us that this gratefulness, the gratefulness that God desires and requires of His people, is primarily a matter of the heart. And that it's a matter of perspective, and not just what we have or don't have. The fact is, it's more common for some people to complain, to blame more than they say thank you. If you are the type of person that primarily sees yourself as a victim, then it's likely that you do complain and blame more than you say thank you. Some people are ungrateful because they're simply unimpressed. They feel entitled. This is really common, isn't it? When things are going well, they feel they deserve it. And so again, I'll make a note and I'll say that if you feel like you deserve all the good that you have, then you're going to be an ungrateful person. If you feel like the good that you have isn't very good, then you're an ungrateful person. A couple years ago, I saw a comedian on YouTube, and I really thought the guy was hilarious. I laugh every time I watch this, but he was having fun at the expense of ungrateful people, and especially in regards to the technology that we have these days, and yet nobody seems to care. All that they're complaining about the technology, right? When it doesn't work, when it's amazing what we have. And this guy was really funny. He was talking about people with their phones, and you know how engrossed we are. People are in their iPhones and their smartphones and all the time, and then it takes a little longer than they want to download, and there's oh, it's taking forever. Oh, that app won't work. And the guy goes, it's going to space. Can you give it just a second to get back from space? And then he was talking about, because we're used to flying in planes now. It's become just humdrum to us. And so people, more often than not, is complaint about the time at the airport and the flight. And, we taxied for so long. There was no leg room. And it took so long to get the bags. And the guy goes, but then what happened? Did you fly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight? You're in a chair in the sky. And then we complain, right? He said, everybody should just be the whole time going, ah! I liked that. A perspective adjustment. We can all use perspective adjustments. Thankfully, God, by His Holy Spirit and His Word, gives us that. When we go to His Word, when we go to Him, when we are changed by the gospel, our perspective is changed. And we need it. We certainly need it to be grateful people. That's what brings us to Psalm 50 this morning. If you're there in the first verse, follow along with me. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around Him. Now, first, this is a psalm of judgment. We're not going to emphasize the judgment part of this psalm today, because what I want us to see most of all is what God desires. He tells the people, the very people He's judging, His people, this is what I desire. I desire thanksgiving. That's what we're going to focus on today. But we got to at least understand the context here, is that God is judging His people. And we'll talk a little bit why, but again, that's not our emphasis this morning. Some of them, it was due to wickedness. But mostly we'll see that all of them had an improper perspective of God, and it had affected their response to Him. They were doing things that He asked them to do, but it wasn't part of their heart. And they were doing it thinking almost that they were adding to God, or that He needed it in some way. And so God is going to tell them, and He's going to tell us this morning, I want thanks, not because I need it, the same reason that a parent tells a child, because you need it. First, here in the first few verses, we're given a picture of God as sovereign over everything, right? It says that the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth. He directs the earth, the universe. He formed it. He spoke it into existence. And He formed you out of the dust of the ground and breathed life into you. And so this whole psalm begins with who God is and how big God is. And this is where we must begin too. God is big. And if our understanding of God, if our perspective of God is small, then we're not going to be grateful. It follows that if we think that we can do this stuff by ourselves, and if we don't really need who God is or what He has, and I get along just fine by myself, it follows that we're going to be ungrateful to Him. But as we understand that God is big, that He is powerful, and that all blessings, spiritual and material, flow from Him, then it's only going to make sense that we are thankful and that we do respond with thanksgiving. Verse 4, He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you, I am God, your God. So in this section, we see the relationship that God has with these people that He's addressing. Over and over again, His people, my saints, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, my people, I'm God, your God. He's talking in context to the people of Israel whom He had called to be His chosen people. For our purposes this morning, He is talking to you, believers, because you are His chosen people. He has made a covenant with us. By what? By sacrifice. By sacrifice of His own Son. And so these people were God's people by creation and by covenant. He makes that clear. He has to remind them. And we, Christians, are His people by creation and by covenant. In other words, God made you and He saved you. And it is for this fact, for this relationship, that we are to thank God. But it is also from this relationship that we thank God. Just like we read in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is from us being made in His image, and then Him sending His only Son to redeem us and to adopt us as His children, it is from that relationship that we say, God, thank you. God, I love you. God, I'm grateful for you. Just a quick look again at those same verses, because not only, of course, is the emphasis on His people, but it's also on judging, isn't it? That He may judge in verse 4. Verse 6, God is judge. Verse 7, something you never want to hear. God says, I will testify against you. Divine judgment was coming Israel's way. Why? Why was God going to show His wrath upon these people? What was it? Verse 8. I will not rebuke you, God says, for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. God had prescribed in His law that they offer sacrifices to Him, and they were doing it. They were being very obedient in this way. He says, it's not because you're sacrificing. You're sacrificing plenty to me. So why the judgment? As we read on, he's going to lay it out to us. But essentially, some of them, not all of them, but some of them were committing great wickedness. We're going to see in verses 16 to 22 that they were breaking about all of God's commandments. But only some of them. What all of them were doing, and he's going to address this in the next verses, what all of them were doing were unknowingly breaking the greatest commandment, the commandment that Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. Because what they had done is, though they had continued to do the external form of the religion, their hearts weren't in it. Their perspective of God was wrong. And so they simply saw these things, these sacrifices that they were told by God to do, they saw them as an obligation only. Oh, we have to do this. And guys, again, if we see our service to God, if we see coming to church, if we see our relationship with God as an obligation, then we're going to be ungrateful people. And God essentially says, I've had enough of the outward form without your heart being in it. And so in the process, and these things work together, don't they? At the same time that we begin to, or that we continue to do the external, but our heart isn't engaged, we begin to forget what God's like. We forget His power. We forget His love. And of course, as a result of this, our understanding of Him becomes small. That's one of their problems. They had a really small understanding. They had real small thoughts of God. And when we have this, we will be ungrateful. And they went so far as to actually think that God needed the sacrifices that they offered to Him. Here's what God has to say about that. Verses 9 through 13. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He pours cold water all over their false thoughts and false ideas of Him. You're offering me things that I made. You think I need them? God says. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I don't need you to sacrifice that calf to me. And what he says basically in verse 12, I love it. He basically says, and you know what? If I did need anything, I wouldn't tell you. Right? He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Guys, God does not need you. He doesn't need me. We don't make Him more complete. He has been complete and perfect and in perfect unity for all eternity as a Trinity. He made you to enjoy Him. We get it mixed up. And when we do, He has to change our perspective and say, no, I don't want that. What does God want? What does God desire? Verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving. Remember, we read that at the very beginning this morning. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Why? Because God needs you to say thank you. No, he just explained himself pretty well in the previous verses. No, because you need it, because I need it. Because we won't have peace, we won't have joy if we aren't grateful. If we don't understand that what we have is a gift from Him, and it's there's going to be a huge disconnect in our lives if we are not grateful to the God that made us and gave us these things. And so they had small thoughts. He wants to increase their thoughts of Him. offer to God thanksgiving. And that is the cure for small thoughts of God. In Psalm 69:30, it says this, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. We magnify God when we thank him. There are a couple different ways of magnifying something. You might think first of a magnifying glass. You take something small and make them look big, right? But the word magnify, you can actually find that in many definitions of a telescope. Now, does a telescope make the sun bigger? Does a telescope, not that you're looking at the sun, I guess. Does the telescope make those planets bigger? No, it shows you more clearly how big they really are, right? And when we magnify God, of course we don't make them bigger, but it shows us, continues to show us how big God really is. Verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. In the day of trouble. This brings up a really important issue here, because there are many who would rightfully say, you know what, I'm not ungrateful because I have little as far as possessions and family. I'm ungrateful because I have a lot of pain. I have a lot of sorrow and loss. And we say, God, why is that? And how can I thank you, God, when I have these things? And this is a huge question. It's a really heavy question, and it's a really real important question, because that's part of the world that we live in. A world where there is much pain, sorrow, loss, hurt, evil, etc. God says this to that person. He says, call upon me. Call upon me, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. That's what the verse says. That's what he's saying. He's saying, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And maybe you hear that and you say, but God, I've been calling upon you. And then God, in his gentle way, will say to you, I know you have, and I have delivered you. And then he points you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says that nothing, nothing can separate you from my love. And he says this, he says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that lies ahead for you. God says to you what he says to all of us, but you are hearing it more clearly because he has stripped some of the unnecessary stuff away. But he says to you the same thing he says to all of us. He says, thank me. For me. Thank me for me. And when you do, it'll be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it will cost you. And it'll be the very thing that pleases me. God often does use loss to help us focus on what really matters. We can be a simple people. There are many in this room who, because they're doing well or they have certain things, that's the only thing they're thankful for. Sometimes those things have to be stripped from us to see God and to thank him for him. And it's only at this place that we can sing what we sang this morning on that last song, give thanks with a grateful heart. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Why? Because of what the Lord has done for me. Verse 16, we'll read this section through. somewhat quickly here, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes? They were claiming God. They were claiming godliness. He says, what right do you have to do that? Or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. Verse 18, when you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. So it's clear that some of the people had really begun to break every commandment that he had laid out. They were stealing, committing sexual immorality. They were lying. And he says, I'm going to judge you in this text. And the biggest thing, I mean, look at that. You thought I was altogether like you. Small thoughts of God. Misconstrued thoughts of God. And a perspective where they thought that because they continued to go to the temple and offer the sacrifices, that things were just fine. And so he's taking them to task. Verse 22. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Again, I said I didn't really want to focus on the judgment part of this psalm this morning, but there are times when it's pretty unavoidable. But notice how giving thanks, you'll see this in the next verse, is set in contrast to those who forget God. This is important. Because if you forget God, you will be unthankful. Whether you outright say, I don't believe in God, that's a way of forgetting God. You'll be ungrateful to Him, clearly. But then we can still say we believe in God and forget Him. Forget Him by our actions, by our words, and so on. That forgetting of God is always going to be in direct contrast with a thankful heart, with giving Him thanks. Consider this. Consider what? Verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me. Again, the ESV. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. And then he says, to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So what does God desire? We see He desires a thankful heart. If we clear some of the confusion and complication and questions away, we see it's pretty simple what He wants. He wants His creation. He wants the people that He has redeemed to respond in a way that's rightful. There are some thoughts that I have for us as a church this morning. And when I say church, I remind you that we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Not this building, not Sunday mornings, though this building and Sunday mornings are important because it's a place for the church to gather and worship God together, right? Because that's important to Him. We have a tendency to think in such individualistic ways and think how things pertain to me, and we often forget the whole church. God is working in us as a church. He's given you gifts. He's given the person next to you gifts. And when He's using them in a church environment, they work together. And so this word is for us as a church. It is important to thank God for your abundance. Husbands, dads, moms, wives, if you are ungrateful or have been ungrateful for your families, you need to repent. That's wrong. You need to be grateful. If your spouse or your children think you're ungrateful for them, you need to pray to God to ask that He would change you. It is good and it is right that we thank God for our abundance. But here's what we need to know. There's only one thing that all of us in this room have in common to give thanks for. And it happens to be the most important thing we have, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of, and I was thinking about this fact as we were worshiping, and so many of the songs are really saying that fact. When we gather, we have one thing in common. It's Jesus, and we've been redeemed. Remember Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because it's good that I thank God for my wife and for my family and for my house. But what I need to remember is that at the same time I'm doing that, I may very well be thanking God for something my brother next to me does not have. But if I'm gospel-centered, if we're gospel-centered, then we're all thanking God for the same thing. The most important thing. The superior thing. This also helps us know and acknowledge and learn that the other things are inferior. They are inferior to the gift of God's Son for us. And so as a church, we do what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 8:9 when he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that is something that you and I can thank God for from this day to the day that we go home to him. That will never change. It will never be taken away. You see, if we only thank God for our abundance or for the inferior things, then there really is no telling if we're going to continue to thank God if we don't have those things anymore. But if we are gospel-centered and gospel-focused, then we will continue to thank God for what he's given to us in the salvation. And if those things are taken, it won't matter because we still have the very thing, the most important thing that we have been thanking him for all along. So as a church, that's what we want to do. That's how we want to be. Because God, as it says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that are inferior, less than him giving his own son? I'm going to invite Joe and the team up, and they're going to close us in song. And as they close us in song, what we're going to do is this. We're going to do what we read in Psalm 69. We're going to praise the name of God with a song, and we're going to magnify him with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so very good to be in your house. Lord, we are so grateful for pointing these things out to us this morning, for calling our attention to your goodness. And we pray that we would be a people that respond to your goodness. We acknowledge that we see a lot of ungrateful people, and it's a lot easier to see it in other people than it is to see it in us. And we pray that you would search our hearts. And God, we pray that we as a church would be gospel-centered and not so self-consumed. And that our thanksgiving to you, even as we sing the song and as we continue, would be focused on the greatest gift of all, that of Jesus for our salvation. So thank you, and we as your church love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.